You are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. This is a replay of our live service from Sunday, April 3rd, 2022. Please enjoy the worship music and the message from Pastor Raff.
The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." How many know there's not a specific place to worship as believers? We worship collectively in church. We worship at home. We can worship in our car, hopefully with our hands still on the steering wheel. We can worship anywhere. We're not limited. You worship what you do not know. We worship You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. For the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And really what that's saying is that true worship must come from the heart, from a pure heart that's devoted and dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning as we begin to praise him, as we stand, let's stand this morning, and as we begin to praise him, let's open up our hearts to the Lord and let him touch us. Father, we just thank you that you've brought us together one more time, Lord, to bless you, to minister to you. Father, we just thank you for that, for this privilege to come into your presence. So, Lord, strengthen your people today. Pour into them of your precious Holy Spirit today. Father, we just want to commit this service. We pray for the worship team, Lord, that you will bless them. Lord, that you will minister through them by your precious Holy Spirit. And we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. Sin. I believe, I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe, I believe. I'll raise a banner. My Redeemer lives.
thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us and that you're up there making intercession for us, living for us. And the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega. The first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega. The first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen. He's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega. The curse and last is He. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the slain. Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus died and rose again. Into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From heaven's mercy stream of the Savior's love for me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus died and rose again. I will rise from waters deep unto the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Surrender humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
All to Thee, my blessed
Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. Good to see so many out today. Weather's getting better, and we thank the Lord for that. Well, we have somebody celebrating a wedding anniversary today, and that's Harold and Carol are celebrating. Now, I thought it was 55 years, but I did an investigation, and I've added three more years. So it's 58 years. Praise God. And they're still in love, right? Right? Okay, good. That's what I was looking for. Praise God. Amen. There's a tithes and offering box available for donations as you enter the sanctuary, and you can discreetly, prayerfully put in your offerings. Please keep that in mind. Tuesday, 1 o'clock, is our women's prayer and share. So we're going to be praying. I know they're going to be praying for what's going to be happening on Tuesday night. Now, Tuesday night is our doctor's tour. And there's going to be three doctors here sharing and talking about vaccines. And if you're concerned about vaccines, especially for children, then you're going to want to be here. There's going to be a question and answer period. And they're doing a tour throughout the Kootenays. And so they're stopping in each and every town. And we're so glad to be able to host them right here at Grace Christian Fellowship. Now, if you want to come, how many are planning to come? Can I see your hands? Okay, that's a lot of hands that have gone up. If you're planning to be here, please come here early. Doors will open at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, the doors will be opened. And so come and find a place. We are going to be having overflow in the lower auditorium with our big screen TV. So we will be having that overflow available. So please keep that in mind. This is an important event. And we encourage you to invite a friend to be here just to listen to what they're going to share with us. I mean, we've heard so much through CBC and CTV and Global and so on and so forth about the vaccines. Well, you know, there's another side to this story. How many know there's always another side to the story? And so this is why this event is so important. We're going to hear the other side of the story, so please keep that in mind. There's no Bible study for this week. Yes.
It'll be on the radio too.
Yes. Thank you, Sonia. I really appreciate you sharing that with me. Yes, this will be a live event on 89.1 FM. And so if you're not able to make it to the church... And on the internet, I'm getting all kinds of advice this morning. And on the internet, via one of our apps, thank you. So please keep that in mind. Thursday, 9 a.m., morning prayer and coffee time. And then Saturday, 8 a.m., men's prayer meeting at Gary's shop. Now, Kaylin has an announcement. Where did she go? Kaylin has an announcement.
Hi, everyone. Yes, I have an announcement, and we have it up on the screen. I want to invite all of you to a special event. It's going to be downstairs here. It'll be at 6:30 on Friday, April 22nd. And it's going to be an old-fashioned coffee house where the musicians jam going on. And who has been to coffee houses where musicians are jamming and having a good time? Well, I'm trying to recreate that. So all you musicians out there, I need you to come. Bring your ukuleles and your banjos and your whatever you have, your bongos. Ukuleles, yes, we need lots of those. We can't probably use more than one bagpipe, but anyways, it's going to be like this. There'll be like coffee and snacks available all evening. You get up and down from your table, just like in a coffee house. No one will serve you. Get up and down and I don't know the cost of them. Debbie has all that information. And while that's happening, there will, full starting at 6:30, there will be a circle of chairs for the musicians, the ones that have instruments with them. Depending how many musicians show up, how many chairs. And I'm going to run it like we go around in a circle, each taking turns. I want to lead a song, and the next person leads the song, the next person says pass. They usually always say pass, that third person. And then the next one can lead a song. And if you have a strong voice, you don't need a microphone, but if you have a gentle voice, I will have a microphone set up that you can get out of your chair and go to where there's a microphone to lead your song. But everything will be at acoustic level. And so you can bring your acoustic, your electric instruments, like an electric bass. We can probably only use one electric bass at a time, so you're taking turns if you are. And you just bring your own amp and bring an extension cord and your, what you need, so that you have your own little place there in the circle and you're the bass player. And but you may have to take turns if there's more than one. We, all the ukuleles are all welcome, and everyone gets to play on every song. There's no, it's everyone just gets to play along and sing along. People without instruments get to sing along, and you don't have to stay in the circle for the whole 2 hours. You can leave the circle and go get snacks and socialize, and you can come back to the circle. It's very casual. I will probably be in the circle the whole time, but I don't want to be the one that has to lead all the songs. Does that, so anyone that has any questions at all about it, please come up to me or get hold of me by phone or text, whatever. And I'll tell you if your instrument is welcome or not. Just kidding. Bring them all. And if you have questions about the food and coffee and that sort of thing, then ask Debbie, who's in the sound booth back there. So is that everyone got that okay? April 22? Okay. Thank you, Pastor.
I'd like to hear the harmonica. That's my favorite. Does anyone play the harmonica? Okay, you play the harmonica. I'd love to hear the harmonica. Praise the Lord. Sherry has an announcement this morning. Is she going to come? God bless her as she comes.
Well, I'm so happy to be able to announce that we now have two groups in our children's church. And so starting today, we have a toddler preschool group. And Terry Lynn, if you'll wave your hand back there, will be supervising it. So if parents, if you would, so toddler, we're saying, you know, if as soon as they're able to walk, they're welcome. And if you will take your children down with Terry Lynn and just give her your name and phone number and your child's name and age, we'd really appreciate that. And so children's group that I'll be teaching today is ages 5 to 11, 5 to 10, 5 to 11, however you're comfortable. And that will we'll start that now. So you're welcome, children. If you would like to come up and join us, we would love you to come with us.
We're going to give you a chance to move around and shake some hands, greet some people this morning. And so we're going to have a little song to be able to spur that on today. Let's move around. Let's stand. Let's greet somebody today.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Christian. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Amen. If we can find a seat, if we can find a seat as we prepare for God's word this morning. And I guess as you've heard last week, we have brought Pastor Raff on staff as a part-time assistant pastor. And we're all excited about that, including myself. I've known Pastor Raff and Sylvia for quite a few years. Even as I came to Creston, I got a chance to meet them, and they've been in our home. We've been in their home, and they're just a wonderful couple, as well as their entire family that's here. And we bless them in the name of Jesus, so they will be joining with us as we continue to lead the church, myself, Pastor Gordon, and Pastor Raff. So let's give him another warm welcome as he comes to minister God's word.
Now? Yes. That was a test. You passed, I failed. Well, God is good. I remember when I preached the last time, it was just such a blessing to be able to share with you just a bit of my journey, where God has taken me. And just because he's faithful. And I've just been reminded of that in my preparation time, that that God is a God of love. And it's all obvious to us as a church. We know these things, but you know, sometimes we have to be reminded. And I find it's such a privilege to be in the Word of God, because when I'm in the Word of God, I fellowship with the Father, and it just keeps me close to Him, and it's what I need. It's what we all need. And so sometimes who gets lazy with their devotions and things like that? I'll be honest. Yeah, it happens. You know, but you know something? We actually suffer when we're not in God's presence. And there's obvious things, changes that can happen to us. You know, we were talking about healing. And who knows that when you're sick, there's obvious symptoms that show up to tell you that you're sick. Who knows that? Yeah, we know that. But do you also know that sometimes you can have symptoms and you don't necessarily acknowledge them, or you ignore them, and then you kind of forget about them, right? And those symptoms can get worse and worse and worse, and you don't even know that they're there. Our text for today is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. So we're just going to read through those together, and we'll continue on. So if you have your Bible, just turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. Okay. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he said. Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So if you know the Gospels at all, you will know that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, that he went about healing, yeah. Right? He had a healing ministry. And this was motivated by the compassion and mercy of God. So it says in Matthew chapter 8 that Jesus was healing of all their diseases. He was setting people free from demons. In chapter 9, the first 9 verses, we have the account of a paralytic being healed. And in the different Gospels, you have some different details going on where actually this paralytic, at one point in time, is lowered down through the roof of the house. Do you remember that? And Jesus heals this man. But before that happened, there was actually these Pharisees that were present who were criticizing what Jesus said when he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And they said, "Who is this that is blaspheming?" And Jesus said, "Don't you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk?" And he got up and walked. Miracle, beautiful miracle. So the thing is as we continue on here, Jesus is actually still in the process of healing. Okay, but it's not physical healing we're talking about. It's healing of the soul. So he walks by from that location, from where he did that healing, and he walks by a tax collector's booth. And who's sitting there? Matthew. In the other accounts, the other gospel accounts, his name is Levi. But the name Matthew actually means, few people might know this, means God's gift. Matthew refers to himself in his gospel as Matthew. I think he liked that. I think he liked that name. The interesting thing when you see this verse is when Jesus said, "Follow me," does it say that he hesitated?
Can you move your mic up?
Oh, okay. There we go. Okay. So it says that he got up immediately and followed after him. Do we know that Matthew knew Jesus at all? No. But we can ascertain maybe that he knew of him. He knew of his amazing works that he was doing around the area. Now, if we think about Matthew, says he was a tax collector, more than likely he was a customs officer. And he was collecting monies for the Roman government. But on the side, he was getting rich. This man was hated. So when you think about what's going on in the heart of Matthew, that he didn't hesitate when Jesus said, "Follow me," I'm thinking, what was going through his heart was, "I am sick and tired of my life. Yeah. Amen. I'm sick of myself. I need a change. There is somebody that I know that can help me change." Because what would it have been like to be in the presence of Jesus the Messiah and him to say, "Come after me"? Do you remember when you were called? Did you respond right away? Not me. It took me a few years. But you know, when I did respond, I was all in. Completely. Just like Matthew. Because I was sick of my life too. I was sick and tired of being a sinner. Amen. Amen. Sick and tired of feeling lost without God. Matthew was hated by all. Because he would what you would call a bloodsucker. Really. The taxes that were collected by the Roman government were exorbitant. Upwards to around 30, 40%. So on top of that, Matthew's commission. Verse 10. So it says here, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. What is the reason for this dinner? Well, you know, it was a celebration. Matthew changed his life. So you know what he wants to do? He wants to have his friends, those he's associated with, those that he's been around, rejected together, celebrate together. And in the ancient East, the idea of having a meal together was sharing a life together. So here is the importance and significance of what's going on here, is God is accepting these sinners, these so-called sinners. He's accepting Matthew. Part of that tradition in the Middle East was when there was some tension in relationship, you would extend a dinner invitation. Remember what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open up the door, I will sup with you, and he will sup with me." What a beautiful picture. This is a picture of repentance. Amen. Eating with Jesus. Jesus is at the house of the sinner. Yeah. Fellowshipping, mm-hmm. accepting, yes. loving. Do you remember when you came to Christ? Did you experience that fellowship with God? Amen. Did you experience his forgiveness in your life? This is what's being displayed. The thing about Matthew is that he knew that he was a sinner. He understood this. So did... Sorry. Okay, we'll try that there. Hopefully that'll work. He keeps falling down. Sorry? Raise my ears. Oh, okay, well, you don't want me to be doing too much fiddling up here because it's going to throw me right off. Matthew knew that he was a sinner. He knew he was a sinful man. And that was part of why he responded right away. And that's the type of heart that God is looking for. If we ignore that we're sick, it can have long-lasting effects in the future. You know, there was a verse in Luke, some verses in Luke 18, 10 to 14, and it's the Pharisee and the publican. Let's look at this together. So you remember that Jesus shared this, it's a parable, a story, about the difference in the heart, okay? The heart of the Pharisee and the heart of the publican in worship towards God and in prayer. So what it says here, to some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give 10th of all I get. So this is the heart of a religious, legalistic individual. Okay, look at me. Look how good I am, God. God, you're blessed to be in my presence. That's the attitude, isn't it? Yeah. Thank God I'm not like any of these scum of the earth. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Maybe Jesus was talking about Matthew's heart. What a difference. But when the Pharisees came, and it was, you know, they came to this banquet and they were observing what was going on, it bothered them. It says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? At the beginning of Matthew, I don't know if you remember John the Baptist when he confronts the Pharisees that came. What did he call them? He called them brood of vipers. You know, who warned you of the judgment to come? So these Pharisees were kind of on a long sort of process of going down. And what we'll see here is when Jesus confronts them, he doesn't yell at them. He's actually wanting them to repent. Eventually, enough is enough. So there were some, obviously, that changed their hearts. But it was a process, beginning with the warning of the prophet of God, John, saying, repent. Your hearts are wrong. You're like snakes. These were prophetic words uttered by a wild man, a wild prophet of God. And their hearts were so hard, they didn't respond. Here they are again. So before, like I said, I mentioned earlier in Matthew, they were accusing Jesus of blasphemy. Now they're questioning, what is he doing? Instead of seeing that, oh, this is a beautiful scene. This is people repenting. These guys are sinners. But you know the way that they viewed those tax collectors and sinners? They were so stuck up. They were so exclusive within their own group, full of rules within rules, that they viewed them almost as bad as they would lepers. They were seeing the Messiah sitting with them and seeing that he was unclean because he was around these people. Have you ever had that thought? This person here, I don't want to go near him. I don't want to become like them. I don't want to be influenced by them. So obviously we don't want to be influenced by people's sin, but we don't want to act in a way that we're repelled by them, especially when they're repenting. Amen. Right? Can you see the sickness? Jesus said, on hearing this, or it says in Matthew 9, it says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So can't you see that he was still ministering healing? Here is the great physician that he's pointing out the obvious, but those that are really sick can't even see that they're sick. In Jesus' presence and through the Holy Spirit, he can show us the conditions of our heart. Are you hearing the word of the Lord today? Verse 13 says, but go and learn. This is what Jesus tells them to do. Go and learn. And this came up in our time of prayer, is that Jesus is compelling them. Like I said earlier, he's not rebuking them, but he's trying to teach them. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He is pointing to the word. And what does it say about the word in Hebrews 4:12? For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So as those Pharisees would have been very aware of the scriptures, he was pointing them right back to them. And in a way, this was a real burn. You know what I mean by burn? He was insinuating that they didn't know the scriptures. But these were the ones who boasted knowing the scriptures. They were trained in the scriptures. They should know what they mean. They should know that God is a God of mercy. They should know that this is an amazing time of fellowship. This is a celebration meal of some people repenting before God. They should know that, but they don't. Do you see how sick they are? They're sick. If you've ever had those thoughts and you thought that these people can't be saved or those people can't be saved, you're sick. I've been there before, and I'm going to tell you about it in a bit. Hosea 6. See, if they were good Pharisees, they wouldn't have just read that verse. They would have read the whole chapter, hopefully. And it's a beautiful chapter about repentance. And there's actually a song written about it by Kevin Prosh. It's actually it's called Come Let Us Return to the Lord. And it talks about God's mercy being like spring rain. And it talks about how far away Israel was from God at this time that this was written. And it talks about their idolatry being like adultery. God's wife being adulterous to him, metaphorically, obviously. And it talks about in verse 5, for I desire mercy, therefore I cut you in pieces with my prophets. Do you remember what John the Baptist said? This was God's prophet cutting them to pieces, even before, right at the beginning of the Lord's ministry. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgments go forth like the sun. And in verse 6, which is what he was referring to, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, the acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. So there is a difference between words in Hebrew. The word mercy in the Hebrew is racham. This word is chesed. Chesed means love towards God, loving kindness, actually. Usually it's used in terms of the loving kindness of God towards his people. But in this case, in Hosea, God instructed the prophet to talk about loving kindness towards God. Relationship, covenant faithfulness, as expressed through covenant. He's not saying ritual or sacrifice was bad, but without loving kindness towards God, without relationship with God, it's nothing. Amen? Outward expressions of worship without love for God is meaningless. Okay? It's really interesting the way that God did this as well, because it's not only meaningless, but you're not able to have compassion for others if you don't have that loving kindness relationship with God in the first place. It's connected together. So that's the depth of this. Do you see? It's so intricate how God did this. We have ministries here in the church that every ministry here, for it to function and honor God, those in the leadership have to pursue God. And they do. You know why? Because I know that when the worship team picks songs led by the Spirit of God, they're going to prepare the church, you, to worship. Not only that, for your hearts to be able to be prepared to receive from the Word of God exactly what you're supposed to receive. Exactly. To be reminded that we receive mercy through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross. And that when we remember that, we can actually give that to others. Yeah. Because we cannot give what we don't have, what we don't experience. Yes. Right. So when pastor preaches, when any pastor here preaches, they spend time with God. Because otherwise, it's all going to be for nothing. It's all vain. We're not going to be able to see somebody responding to God's living word, being touched, and maybe growing just a little bit, being changed just a little bit. Yeah. That you can get what you need today and pass it on to someone else. Because then the church is encouraged. The church is edified. The church is equipped and comforted. It's what's supposed to happen in the church. And then we can do the same. Because we have no hope of being able to extend mercy, compassion, if we don't receive it from God first. And if we don't actually have that and that loving relationship with God that we engage in. Otherwise, you know what we are, church? We're Pharisees. We all know how to do that. I do. And I don't want it. I'm going to tell you a story. So I was healed. I told you that last time. God poured his mercy on my life and brought healing in my life. And I actually, as a result, I ended up in street ministry for a few years. And, you know, I loved it because it was an opportunity to serve people that were hurting, people that were lost. You know, and when I was there, I just put everything into it. I just did everything I could. And I saw God change my life, and it was just wonderful. And you know, after I'd been there for a while, I started to get a little bit on the jaded side, started to be a little bit critical. And this one day, this couple came into the church, and they were heroin addicts. And I was talking to the pastor, and he was so excited because they'd received Christ, and he was ministering to them personally, and he was counseling them. And I was very skeptical. Now, it was not for a bad reason, because this couple were very shifty and lied a lot, and we knew that. Many of us that had seen this before, we knew that. But you know what? It was one thing to be cautious or wise in that area. It was another thing to reject them. And I remember the sight of them used to just really repulse me. And what even bothered me even more was that they were taking advantage of the ministry. And it continued on and continued on. And I was always volunteered to help them by the pastor. So I had to help them move. And it was just like, and just this dislike for them just continued on and on. I lost my ability to give mercy. I became a Pharisee, and somebody said that to me once there, and they said, "You're just a Pharisee." I was like, what do they know? They don't even know the Bible. What are they talking about? Well, and eventually went into overseas missions. And you know, God did a work in all our lives, my whole family. And he did a work in me. And I really saw how important it was to be in his word, to be with him, to pursue God. Now, was I perfect? No. But there was a change that had taken place in me. And then we came back. It was 2013. And we came back for a visit, and it was kind of a furlough time during the summer. And we went to the Mustard Seed, and I got the opportunity to speak and share about the mission, and it was so amazing. And you know, the church culture at the Mustard Seed was, if you were had been at the Mustard Seed and you were in ministry, you had made it. You were someone that was worth listening to. You know, so I was kind of enjoying the accolades of all that and felt like the big man on campus. And you know, I was just like, and everyone was surrounding me. It was great because they all knew me, and it was wonderful. And and then somebody spilled some coffee in the outreach area. So, and I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to slum it a little bit. I used to mop the floors. I'm going to clean this up for you. So I went in and got a mop. And all of a sudden, there was, I'm going to call him Matthew. He was there. And just something I forgot to mention was that the pastor had talked to me a couple days ago, because I went to visit him, and told me how he figured out that he was being taken advantage of by Matthew and his wife, and that he was never going to give him anything anymore, and basically wasn't welcome anymore to that point. So I went to get the mop, and Matthew shows up, and he hardly could look at me, and he said to me, with tears coming down his face, he said, "Have you ever screwed up so bad that everyone rejects you, and rightfully so, because you've screwed up so bad. And he said, do you think God will reject me? And he just wept. And here he was, the guy that I couldn't stand. And at that moment, the compassion of God filled my heart for him, and I embraced him and said, no. I said, he loves you. And you know, he didn't ask me for anything. All he asked me was for assurance that God still loved him. And I thank God for the mercy that he gave back to me. I really do, because I almost lost it. And you know, that guy smelled. He was really unsightly, but I didn't care. And when the mercy of God is in your heart, you don't care. So if the Lord is talking to you and speaking to you about maybe your heart, maybe you're too involved in ritual, maybe you're too involved in hymn singing or Bible exposition that you forget that God loves you and wants your love, wants your relationship, wants to be with you. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to pour out his mercy that you receive. Enough said. Lord, I'm so aware of how because of your mercy that we stand here today, because of your grace, because of your fellowship, Lord, that we can minister. Help us never to forget that, Lord. Help us not to recognize that we're sick as well and that we have been sick, but you've healed us. And Lord, when we forget, may we be willing to turn to your word, and may your word just penetrate our hearts and reveal what's really there, like the double-edged sword that it is. We bless you, Lord. I pray that anyone here that is just being touched by the Spirit, even now, Lord, that you would minister your grace, that you'd minister your mercy, that you'd minister your love, you minister your peace. This church, each one of us needs you desperately. And Lord, we just so want to reach others. But help us know that we cannot do that on our own. Help us know that we need to walk in your grace and forgiveness, that we'd be clothed with compassion, as Paul said in Colossians. That we'd bear each other's burdens. I thank you, Lord, for your heart, your kind heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Raff, for that message this morning. Let's stand. And how many here have received the love of Jesus into their hearts? Thank God for that. But you know, the Lord just ministered to me today because I'm thinking about Matthew. You know, rejection is a powerful spirit. And it can get into any one of our lives. And we need to receive the love of Christ in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you again, Lord, for blessing us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take a moment to greet somebody. Turn around, shake somebody's hand. Tell them that you love them this morning. You really love them. This morning, you really, really love them.
Thank you for tuning in to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Please join us next Sunday at 2416 Cedar Street for our live Sunday service. God bless.